For two, yeah. She, so on the 26th, she talks to Brad Gibson. She tells him about the Styler. She tells him about what she knew about the dispute, and they were moving out, and the calls from Nancy Styler. She tells Brad Gibson everything. And then on the 27th, they bring the Stylers in. This is Thursday, the 27th. They, the police. And John Zamora's involved by then. On Friday morning, Kathy Carpenter comes back at 9:30 in the morning with her son, with her mother, and they start interviewing her a little after noon that day, and she stays in that interview room until after midnight. On the 28th. And she went over this again and again and again, and they used every trick in the book, every trick I've ever seen, to try to trip her up, to try to get her to say something different. They planted facts. They told her about evidence that she didn't even know about. And she remained consistent throughout the 26th for hours, throughout the 28th for 12 hours. She came back the next day, March 1st, for several hours. She came back 2 days after that, March 3rd, for another 4 hours. And then on the 14th, when they arrest her, she talked to them for 4 hours and stays consistent throughout all of that time.
And how many hours in total do you think they interviewed her?
It's well over 20.
Okay, you said that already.
Well, when this interrogation began, did she realize that she was under suspicion?
Yes. She said, well, I understand why. I'm the one who found her, and I was staying with her. I'm the last one. I mean, they would really go at her, and she's so passive and very matter-of-fact. They would tell her they thought she was lying and she's guilty and she's hiding things. At one point, John Zamora said, Nancy Pfister made you go get groceries. You wanted her dead. That's a quote. That's a quote. That's how desperate it got. And after all that, they would end. They actually ended on the 14th with them saying, haven't we treated you with respect? And, you know, they arrested her on a Friday because they know you won't get a lawyer until Monday. And they said, you know, when the lawyers get involved, your chances will be up. So why don't you call us this weekend when you change your mind and talk to us? Because, you know, if a lawyer gets involved, they'll get in the way.
This is CBI or Picken County?
You said that? No, actually, by the time after the 28th, Picken County has very little to do with Kathy Carpenter. It's CBI and Lisa Miller.
Did she implicate the Stylers?
Yes. But they said what they wanted from her is for them to say she knew more than she did. And she said, no, I know they were angry with Nancy Pfister. These are things they said. They called Nancy Pfister names. Trey Styler was very angry with her. But I don't know what they did. I mean, they tried to get her to say, what's your theory of the case? And she said, I don't have a theory of the case. What do you think happened? And she said, I don't know what happened. I don't know. I think I have what I think might have happened, but I don't know. And it's based on Trey Styler being mad. But they wanted more from her, and I believe that's why she was arrested, to squeeze her. And she just kept telling the truth, and she wouldn't say more than she actually knew.
Does Ms. Carpenter have a history of mental illness?
No.
And during this whole process, is she evaluated for that at all?
No. Okay. No, there's no reason to.
Does she have a history of drug abuse?
She quit drinking about a year ago, has remained sober for the last year.
Did Kathy have knowledge of the business affairs between Nancy Pfister and the Stylers as far as the spa business? Did Kathy know anything about that?
No.
Really?
No. She wasn't a business partner of Nancy Pfister. She wasn't a bookkeeper. She wasn't an employee. She wasn't an assistant. She was a friend.
But she knew there was something had sparked anger.
Something had sparked anger, but there were arguments back and forth over them. There were problems with the hot water heater in the house early on, and Nancy Stylar and William Stylar communicated with Nancy Pfister directly saying, we're not going to pay for this until you fix the hot water heater. And there was about a 30-day period where they withheld payment. And then they paid, and it was $4,000 a month, and they were paying first, last, and deposit. But that covered the 3 months that they were actually there. And then Nancy Pfister decided to come back. And I don't know how Nancy Pfister came up with the you owe me $14,000 or I'm going to withhold this. And honestly, neither does Kathy Carpenter.
Kathy Carpenter changed the locks on that closet?
I think it was, I'm not positive about the name, Basalt Lock and Key, through John Beatty's orders and coordinated through Kathy Carpenter. And Kathy had both keys to the closet. Now,
why did she change the locks?
Because she was suspicious of the Stylers going through Nancy's stuff.
Had they been going through?
And at one point she saw Trey Styler with his computer hooked up to Nancy Pfister's computer and told Nancy Pfister about that. Say, I don't know what Trey's doing up there, and I think they're going through stuff in your closet. And so they told John Beatty, and they all decided, let's change the locks. And Kathy, you keep both the keys. We'll do a spare key and then the key that says owner's closet. And I keep talking about that because on Friday morning, a Basalt employee was checking the trash around Basalt.
Friday the 28th.
And found a black trash bag that turned out to have Trey Styler's DNA inside the bag.
In what form? Or we don't.
I don't know. Isn't it tiny? Can't you not see?
I mean, like fingernails or.
DNA.
But doesn't it have to? I'm not trying to challenge you. I was more just curious.
How did they know to go look for that DNA in that black bag?
They didn't look. They weren't looking for it. It was a city employee. This is what I found out about Basalt. If there's a city employee that checks every Monday morning and every Friday morning to see if people are putting their trash in the city containers, or it's just, you know, like the paper cups and can or whatever. And there was a whole trash bag in there, and it was the only trash in this can. It's actually right on Midland Avenue. And he takes that trash back to the Basalt City building and goes through it to see if he can find identifying information. And then you get called in and say, hey, quit using our trash cans. Pay for your own trash. You know, you get, I don't know what happens if you when they catch you, honestly. I'm speculating. Maybe you get a ticket. I don't know. So he opens this up, and there's a bloody hammer in the bag. And there are what really keys him in is there are all these prescription bottles that say Nancy Pfister on it. And so he realizes, because by Friday it's in the news, and he calls the sheriff, and the sheriff goes down and picks up the bag. It goes to CBI. And I think her prescription bottles were on the nightstand, and where I showed you the headboard, you can kind of see that table. And I don't know what happened, but it would make sense for somebody to just clear off stuff into a bag if you were trying to get rid of it. I don't know what happened.
But if that employee hadn't have gone through that bag...
If he hadn't gone through the bag, it would be in a landfill somewhere.